spectacle on the surface caused me some concern, but from what I'm told, there was a press statement issued by the police department last night, which has not seemed to have surfaced in any of the media, and in that article there's been a fair bit of journalistic license taken. And I've been in touch with the police department in relation to it. Apparently what happened was that most of the, or part of the story is accurate, that the woman was in the car, that the police did stop the car, but the only deficiency in the story is that at no stage, according to the father, were the police told that the girl in the car was the one who was having the miscarriage. Mm. Now, if that's a fact, and it was the belief of the police officers that this gentleman was going to visit his daughter or whatever, or the lady was going to visit her daughter, then that puts a different colour on the thing altogether.
Yeah.
Now, it is unfortunate, and, you know, I'd be the first one to say it's the most traumatic experience for the young lady, but, you know, it's, I'm afraid, one of those things, a product of a misunderstanding.
So what the police concerned Tom was saying was that at no time was the father or mother who were in the car with the daughter, did they say that she's having a miscarriage?
This girl in the car, yeah.
Yeah. That does seem a bit strange, though, doesn't it?
I mean, to me, yeah.
Yeah, Tom, a bit hard to say, but would there be any chance that some of your people might tell fibs to cover up?
Well, they went to interview the father, apparently, and, you know, they don't send the same people who were involved. Interview the father, I would think they would have sent a commissioned officer. And, you know, I can only repeat to you what's been told to me, and I don't think if we were wrong, and, you know, our commissioner's been on record a number of times saying, yes, we were wrong, and I would have thought that if this were the case, this would be one of them.
Yeah, so actually the father has borne the story out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been talking to Chief Inspector Vlog from our public relations just a little bit before I came on the air, because he rang to, having heard that you were going to talk to me, rang to give me this information.
Yeah. Well, that does put a completely different complexion on the story,
indeed,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when one read it last night, one thought, oh, my God.
But when I read it this morning, I was rather... I became rather cold, I can tell you.
Yeah. So the story is, just recapping again, Tom, that at no stage did the mother or father in the car say that the daughter in the back seat had to get to hospital desperately because she was having contractions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, well, we haven't actually seen a copy of that statement.
Well, that's what I was saying. I'm rather surprised that you haven't got it, because it's been delivered, it was delivered last night to the press liaison, and I would have thought that certainly the Sun would have taken it up this morning, seeing as that was in the Herald last night.
Yeah. Tom, are you glad that Chogham is over?
Oh, yes, we can. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Right, I think we can breathe a sigh of relief now it's over without incident.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, do you think the security might have been a bit overdone?
Well, I think the problem, Dennis, is that you've got to...
How about this?
And it's your pain, the observer. No, come on, how much? 10:15, 100 3DB with champagne there. Lester Parsons is here. Lester commences a... How did you get on page two?
Notice I'm on page two of the Observer and you're only on page eight of Inside Football, or whatever it chooses to call itself, and that's closed down, hasn't it?
Yes, because during the summer, Lester, we don't play football.
Oh.
But the thing about it is that I got paid for Inside Football. You're paying the Observer.
No, they're paying me a fortune.
Not what I've heard, Lester. Back after this break.
Shake out the crown, shake out the sun.
What a wake-up taste. Start your day with the crunchy, delicious taste you know so well. The crisp, golden taste of Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Shake out the iron and shake out the bite and shake out the sun to start your day. Crispy, crunchy, fresh, the Kellogg's Corn Flakes way.
If you're undecided where to buy land or build your new home, then here's your answer. Underbank Country Club Estate. It has its own golf course, swimming pool, bowling green and clubhouse, and offers vendor terms on only 10% deposit and interest at only 8%. Magnificent blocks from $18,000 an interest rate of only 8% reducible. Look no further. Underbank Country Club Estate, Bacchus Marsh. Phone Danny Kelly. Danny Kelly anytime on 053-673193.
Adieu, Victoria. Well, Lester is here, and actually, Lester, something very rare has happened this week.
What's that, Dennis?
You've got something right. No,
Your shirt fits.
You've received your first fan letter.
Yeah.
So, do you mind if I open it for you?
Get off! Go right ahead. Who's it from?
No, not him. I saw him at the football, Peter Russell Clark.
Oh.
But he didn't talk to me.
G'day.
Let's stop it! Get off! Lovely since. See ya, humble man. It's from the Eastern Districts Football League, and it's Lester Parsons, 3DB Flinders Street. Do you want me to read it?
Please, from the Football League.
The Eastern Districts Football League. Hmm. Dear Lester, we are having a function next Thursday night. Pies beer. We would like you to compare it and introduce the young lady who'll be disrobing at about 10:30. Oh, dear.
Now, there you are, Dennis. I told you, if we waited long enough, Mary Hardy would get another job.
Oh, I forgot something. Seeing you've become an almost multimedia personality, you're on 3DB, and God, why didn't we discover you? And you'll be on page 2 of The Observer, as from the Sunday. I suppose it's fitting we should do this. Well, I suppose I should say congratulations. Your first column on this Sunday, is it?
It is no...
Page 2!
Exactly. Well, they realise how famous I'm going to be, Dennis.
Oh,
isn't it funny how things do an about turn, Dennis? Because when I was about 13, 12 or 13, which isn't so long ago, of course...
30 years ago.
I used to deliver the Sunday Observer. And now I'm joining that Keith Outhouse and all those other people on the staff.
Yes, I still can't understand, how you got on page 2. Oh, well, you do know, you paid them.
Certainly.
Who's vetting your copy? I mean, in other words, who at the Observer is taking responsibility for the writs?
I'm just spreading the writs around this way, Dennis. I don't think anyone will have to vet my copy. It's always...
Who do you get into in the Observer on Sunday, if you'll pardon the expression, Lester? Pardon the expression, Lester.
Providing they use it all, Dennis, we've got a mention of the lovely, lovely Annette Allison.
Oh, another one of my favourite people.
Yes, and we have mentions of Paula Duncan. And
nothing wrong with Paula?
No. We'll talk about Paula in a minute. Who else? I really can't remember what I wrote now, Dennis.
Well, it must have been brilliant.
You'll have to buy it on Sunday and see.
Okay. That's Sunday.
I also must apologise for being late this morning, Dennis. I was running around all the offices checking out who was still here this week.
Yes, you mightn't be here much longer. I mean, just because you're in the Sunday Observer doesn't mean that you're indispensable.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, well, say something.
Well, I broke my golden rule yesterday, Dennis, and actually listened to this show, and I heard you interviewing Paula Duncan and that little musician friend of hers. Now, that was very interesting listening. Might I suggest that Paula was a little terse when you questioned her about her personal life?
She was a little, wasn't she?
She certainly fumbled for an answer for long enough.
Yes.
And here, Dennis, I feel I must castigate you, because you let her get away. You had her, and you backpedaled as fast as you could when you could have when she tried to throw you right off the track.
You see, I'm one of those rare people.
I'll agree with that.
If someone doesn't want to talk about their personal life, it is none of our business.
But Dennis,
I know that you go around sniffing in the grass and sniffing everywhere, and wallowing in mud. But I believe that a person's personal life is their business. Now, if someone wants to do whatever they do with their life, it has nothing to do with us.
But
I thought that you might want to talk about a personal life. She said she didn't want to talk about a personal life, and I don't think I had a right to pursue it.
Well, Dennis, I have been telling you for months about her and her cop shop co-star, and you refused to believe me, but of course it is true. Why didn't you ask her about the sapphire and diamond ring that she was wearing?
Because I didn't see any diamond and sapphire ring that she was wearing.
Well, I'm sure she would have had it on. As I told you last week, that was given to her by John Orchick. I'm really quite...
Well, the thing about Porter Duncan and John... I mean, you know, I couldn't really... Okay, if they're on together, I really couldn't care. And I don't think most people could.
Well, Dennis, I really am quite disappointed with you. I thought you'd have got it out of her. I thought you would have jumped up when she...
I beg your pardon, Mr.
When she refused to answer you and wobbled around the panel as fast as your fat little legs would carry you and forced a confession out of her. But when it does finally come out, Dennis, don't say that I didn't tell you, because I'm sure you'll use it on air.
With bated breath.
I think I also heard you say yesterday that Holiday Island is getting better.
Why don't you clean your ears out?
better.
What have you been doing? I said nothing about Holiday Island yesterday.
When you were
mention Holiday Island.
When you were talking to Ernie, I'm sure you did.
Mention Holiday Island.
Oh. Well, whoever said it can't have watched it later.
What have you been doing again?
Aside from Stephen Grives and Gaynor Martin, whose characters are developing nicely, even though Gaynor isn't, the rest of the cast is quite dreadful, Dennis. I didn't think it could get worse, but it has. Kaz Lederman should go back to the spice rack from whence she came. Frank Wilson gets progressively worse. Now,
so there's a lovely, humble man.
They should give him his own...
Stephen Temp. Ever interviewed Frank Wilson?
No, but I've seen him interviewed. They should give him his own talent show called Old Faces. Oh. And I do wish they'd film him with his teeth in. I don't know if you watch, but he does the show without his teeth in. And he looks like a gummy shark.
Oh! Yes.
And that Patricia Kennedy, who plays Mrs. Muldoon, they ought to pension her off. Or better still, they should shoot her. I mean, people that age don't deserve to live. Oh. And I don't know why they decided to continue with Holiday Island, but it really is so bad, Dennis, that it deserves Ted Hamilton or someone.
I haven't seen it for ages. Last time I saw it, I didn't think it was particularly good.
Lucky you.
In fact, it's awful.
While we're talking about Holiday Island, I have a scoop for you, Dennis. Another scoop.
Something new?
Kaz Lederman. Is
Kaz Lederman?
Kaz Lederman. Mm. She plays Angela.
Right.
She's leaving the show shortly. There's one for you. Yes, Patrice will grab hold of that. Perhaps Kaz Lederman got sick of holidaying and has decided to seriously pursue a real acting career. It's been so long, Dennis, since I talked about Don Lane, and I'm so pleased to tell you that the word is that he'll only be doing one show a night next year, and also that Kerry Packer doesn't want the executive producer, Peter Faman, involved with the show much anymore.
Oh, dear. Why?
You'll note that Peter Faman is, in fact, phasing himself out. Apparently, Mr. Packer doesn't want his star producer associated with a failure.
Oh!
And still on Don Lane, Dennis, he's set to pull off a coup by having Captain Mark Phillips, the Royal Commoner, as a guest on his show soon.
Well, that'll be exciting.
I wonder if he'll do any impersonations of his charming wife, Princess Anne.
Oh!
Actually, Captain Phillips is an old hoofer from Waverley.
What? So what?
An old hoofer. A hoofer is a dancer, Dennis. And he's doing the Lane show. Perhaps he's going to do a little dance or something. But his life is much more stable now.
Oh.
Perhaps Don Lane can get Captain Phillips to talk about his wedding to Princess Anne. And when Mark Phillips talks about bridal wear, he is not kidding. It's a shame, really, that Princess Anne didn't come out for Chogham with the Queen. Would have solved so many problems. The Queen could have ridden her around the city and saved all the fuel.
Well,
that's Blaine DB and The Observer in one fell swoop, I think.
Continue, Lester. I believe when Captain Mark Phillips does appear on the Don Lane show, they're having a photo taken and it'll be mounted. Go on.
Oh, pick me up off the floor. Darren Hinch.
Now,
I knew that'd get your attention. Darren Hinch, the self-confessed superstar and multimedia personality,
very humble person.
He has turned down an alleged $300,000, Dennis, to do a series of commercials.
What for, mirrors?
Well, now that he and Linda aren't getting married, he probably doesn't need the money to finance his own press receptions. Actually, Darren's career is forging ahead, Dennis. He hasn't had time recently to get engaged or married to anyone. And just while we're still on him, do you know he has been asked to shave his beard off?
Why?
For Channel 7? Well, the people concerned with the show don't like his beard.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine him without all that fuzz. Ugh. The producer of Bellamy, Dennis, is very purse-lipped at the moment about comments made by the show's star, John Stanton, who inferred that the police force had interfered too much with the production of Bellamy. If you remember, John Stanton claimed that the police, who had script approval, were making too many alterations, and he also claimed that the police would not allow the scripts to hint at any police corruption.
Well, I mean, it does take place in New South Wales. Is it any wonder? Oh. I mean, you know, if you got onto police corruption in New South Wales, they'd have enough episodes for 10 years, Lester.
I'm so pleased you said that. Now, Don Batty, who was the producer of Bellamy, is most annoyed at these comments, and he claims that John Stanton is being a little childish. He feels that Bellamy was excellent television and one of the best productions ever made in Australia.
Blind.
He did not, however, explain why the series was scrapped. Yes. A couple of quickies.
Stunning list.
A couple of quickies for you, Dennis. Channel 9's Sydney office has a foyer full of photographs of the network stars, and one of the largest and most predominant photographs currently hanging there is of Marilyn Mayo of Holiday Island. Perhaps you can work that one out.
Can we be bothered working it out?
Yeah, fine. And if you've watched Prisoner recently, Dennis, you'd have noticed that the Wednesday night episodes have been 2 hours long. Now, this may lead you to believe that the network is being extremely generous and they believe in the show so much that they're plugging it for all it's worth, but this is not so. The reason it was run for 2 hours for a couple of weeks is that the screening screening schedule can catch up to Sydney, which has always been ahead of Melbourne with episodes, and therefore the press will no longer be confused about what's been seen and when.
Oh, I'll tell you something rather interesting that I thought you might have mentioned, but of course it's up-to-date news, so you wouldn't. Channel 9 yesterday were to receive a lot of reports from overseas. They have exclusive rights to certain networks overseas that no other stations have. And all this stuff was coming in from overseas and was only supposed to go to Channel 9. But due to someone flicking the wrong switch somewhere or something, it went to every television station in Australia. So TV's Channel 9's exclusive became everyone's property.
Oh.
I thought you might have mentioned that. It seems topical.
Pretty interesting. I'm sure everyone's flabbergasted with that one.
Now, Lester, we're going to ask our friends, we'll have a record, then we'll ask our friends to ring up and comment on your little thing this morning. I'm sure we'll get some comments on Princess Anne. any of the other things that you have mentioned. So, friends, if you'd like to ring us, and we are in delay, so please, you know, don't say what you really think of the...
Together.
Life's fun with you.
Schwarzkopf Batiste. Hair stays fresher longer and makes life fun.
From Hollywood, this is Casey Kasem, and the countdown continues till we get to the top. A song that moves up 8 big notches third week on the chart is now at number 20. The Little River Band and the Night Owls.
There's a bar right across the street. He's got a need he just can't beat. Out on the floor, he shuffles his feet away.
American Top 40 between 6 and 10 every Sunday night. Brought to you by Alexander's, Melbourne's first big band night spot. Great listening from your radio station, 103 dB, the rhythm of the city.
Okay, with bated breath, what did you think of Lester Parsons' comments this morning? We have Bill on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Okay, Bill, do you want to say something to the creature sitting opposite me?
Well, I'm one of his fans.
Oh, God.
Another one.
Yeah. Hey, they're paying these people like you paid the Observer.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Lester. I'd just like to comment on your comments about the Mark Phillips.
The Royal Commoner, yes.
I laughed till I was hoarse.
Bill!
I think Lester should be on another day, actually. Another day as well.
Oh. 2 days a week?
Yeah.
Oh, God, help us.
I'm working on my own television show at the moment.
That will be good.
Wouldn't fit on the screen.
Move over Greg Evans.
Big enough head for her. Okay, Bill, thanks very much.
Thanks,
bye.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, bit of a dag, wasn't he? 3DB, you're talking to Lester Parsons. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Is that you, Lester?
Yes, it is.
My name's Ian, and I'd like to say that I think you've got a really good show.
Thank you.
And I agree with that gentleman that was just on before about what he was saying about the Royal Party. And I'd also like to know...
About what?
The Royal Party.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, yeah, was it?
Yes, Lester.
I know.
Well, anyway, when are you going to get that Don Lane off the show?
Oh, it's not entirely up to me, but I am working on it.
Oh, I think you should try to work a bit harder because I don't like him at all.
Oh, well, we've got something in common.
And I reckon you should get another day on the radio show too because it makes my day a bit more happier down here.
Oh, well, that's what
I'm
here
down
for.
Here?
Philip
Island.
For the penguins.
You get us all the way down there.
Oh, yeah.
90 miles away, Lester.
Well, isn't that funny? You've got penguins down there and I'm surrounded by turkeys.
Oh, no, old Dennis isn't that bad.
Want a bet?
Oh, he can't be that bad.
Oh, can't he? You probably see him any day on the beach down there washed up.
No, we don't get too many of them down here. It's in Tassie.
Oh.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you,
Ian. Nice spot, Philip Island. 3DB, hello.
Hello.
Another gentleman.
Good morning.
Strange here.
Yes, it's Lester guys speaking.
I've read about your Observer column you got now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I must buy one on Sunday.
Please do.
What's the chance of having your Master Hines joke in it?
No, we've been sworn off Marsha Hines jokes for a little while. We'll try and weave the
board level, Lester.
Yes, many stories above, we were sworn right off Marsha Hines jokes.
Well, what about that on Captain Phillips or someone like that?
Oh, so we might get a Captain Phillips joke in there.
He's pretty open for jokes, I think.
Well, he is a joke, but... Oh.
Well, I really enjoy your little segment on the radio as well, Lester, so give it a good work.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Right, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Three blanks, I noticed, Lester. 3DB, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Another one.
Oh, another guy.
Who's this?
Peter.
Hello, Peter.
G'day.
How are you?
All right, thanks. How come you're reckoning up a good newspaper like the Sunday Observer?
How come I'm what?
Reckoning it up.
Wrecking it?
Yeah.
Oh, how unkind of you. They need me. They're desperate for me.
That must be pretty desperate then.
Sorry, could you try English?
They must be pretty desperate then.
Pretty desperate?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
They came to me on bended knees.
Rubbish. Went to them on bended knees.
In fact, most of the Observer staff are so short, they look as though they're on bended knees. But... Okay, thanks, Peter.
See
you later. Bye. Okay.
This is amazing. We have a lady. Good God.
Colleen. Hello, Colleen.
Hello.
Oh, a lady at last.
Colleen. It's not Colleen Hewitt, is it?
No relation.
Oh, for that.
Good.
I just wanted to say, Lester, how much I enjoyed your show.
Oh, thank you very much.
A phone call from his publicity agent, who sent me a tape of Stephen Zammit, and there's a long 50-page letter there saying, you know, how dare Lester say he was Stephen Zammit. So, would you like to hear the Stephen Zammit record?
No.
Well, you're going to hear it anyway. Here's Stephen Zammit. He does exist. Sickening phone calls.
What a big wombat.
What?
What a big wombat.
Oh.
No wonder he doesn't get much work.
Look, I had nothing to do with it. I was prepared to let it go. I would just like to say that I also thought it was bloody awful. Okay. It's everywhere, all over the carpet. Look, apparently there are still a couple more people on the phone, so we might just take a couple more. We'll go to, I think, two more phone calls. 3DB, hello. Oh, hello. Interesting, exhilarating. Hello.
Hello.
I can hear heavy breathing.
Gentleman,
good morning.
Funnel, I think.
Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Graham.
Brian.
Graham.
Graham.
Yeah, my name is nickname Speedy. I used to listen to you Saturday mornings.
Go on, you, Graham.
Now, listen, this bloke you got there on the radio, I don't know why he's pretty good, but as far as I'm concerned, you're number one, no?
Oh, Graham, aren't you lovely?
Yeah,
shut up, Lester.
You speak your mind, and that's what I like. And these things you talk about getting rich and that, it's a load of crap.
Oh, how can he speak his mind, Graham? He doesn't have one. He's out of it.
Yeah, but if your brain was made of electricity, Lester Parsons, you'd be a walking blackout.
Oh, that was fairly funny.
When they handed out brains, you thought they said drains and you missed it. But anyway, I like you too, Lester.
Oh.
Okay, then.
Thanks, Graham.
See
okay,
you later.
Bye. Just take one more, quickie.
Goodbye.
3DB, hello.
Hello.
Oh, a lady. Yes, my dear.
How are you?
What's your name?
Mary. Yes, is Lester there?
Yes, you're speaking to him now.
Okay, hello Lester, how are you?
Good, thanks Mary.
That's good, I think your show's tremendous.
My show, it's my show now.
Oh, well, not your
Stan
show,
Rofe around,
I mean,
did he hear that?
Your segment is tremendous.
Ah, thank you. Why do you enjoy it?
Well, because, I mean, it's about time somebody comes out and says the honest truth about some people. I mean, they shouldn't even be on television or on the radio, some of the people that are, you know, famous today. I don't know how they got there, and at least you're honest enough to come out and really say what they're really like.
If I was to be completely honest, I could tell you how some of them did get there.
Oh, really? Well, that'd be tremendous. I'd like to hear that one day.
Ah, yes, but then you'll hear me no more.
Oh, I don't think so, Lester. I think you're
anyway.
Too good for that.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, I really enjoy you very, very much, and I do agree you should be on a bit more.
And do run out and buy The Observer on Sunday.
Yes, I always do buy it, Lester, yes.
Ah, well, you've got a better reason to now.
That's right, I will. I'll definitely look into it. My friend and I, who I work with now, we're both very big fans of yours, so we'll be definitely buying The Observer every Sunday.
And do take the time to write to Mr. Prime.
Yes, I will do that for you, Lester, no worries.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Thank you very
Mary.
Much.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, sickening. Righto, well, we'll see you next Thursday. Incidentally, Nigel Nixon is coming back in TV scene next week, so behave yourself because Nigel Nixon is available again.
Oh.
And he hasn't got your head.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see you next Thursday, and I suppose I've got to say your column is in page two of the Sunday Observer on Sunday.
Right. What are you going to do now that you're not in print anymore, Dennis?
Mind your business.
Yeah.
And apart from mind your business, incidentally, there's a call from Stephen Zammit's publicity agent for you. I just have one other thing to say to you.
What?
Get off. Thou shalt not steal.